Acts chapter 4, starting at verse number 23. Just want us to spend time reading this wonderful story from the Word of God. And the Bible says in Acts 4, 23, it says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord,' they said, 'you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus.' And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all." I still consider this moment, January 10th, 2016, as a time of renewed momentum. It is still the beginning of the new year. Now, some of us have already broken our new resolutions. Now, I want to give you permission this day to start all over. You know, we can do that with God. Do you understand that? That we can start over with God. God isn't like people who, you know, one strike, two strike, three strikes, and you're out. With God, we can start over. I love what the writer in Lamentations writes in Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse number 21. He says, "The steadfast," says, "but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." This is from the New Revised Standard that I'm reading from. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." You know, say, church, it's still early in the new year. And church, we are living on the edge of anticipation of what the Lord will do in 2016. I am eagerly waiting and putting myself in position to see God work. Here, I'm putting myself in a position to not only see, but to hear from God about his revelation for this church in this community. My heart is open to feel the experience of God. My mind is open to receive a better understanding of who he is. I am excited to be in a position to see God change lives. Church, some would say that there is ample evidence to cause us to worry. Global terror is on the rise. Just last week, there is some indication that the global markets, financial markets, are headed for some trouble. Right here in central Ohio, it seems that the murder rate is is poised to be larger than last year. Already we have several murders in central Ohio, including areas where during Central Ohio Work Camp, there are some streets that we worked on, painted houses where they were finding murdered bodies. There are people saying it's time to worry. You see, every night on the local news, we're hearing of more devastation and more murders and more violence and more financial trouble. Yes, there are those who say it's time to worry, but church, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are new every morning, His mercies are, and therefore we will hope in Him. Church, some would say that it's time to worry. But when we put our hope in Him, worry, when placed in proper perspective, is swallowed up in hope. Now, that's just what I believe. I think y'all believe that too. If you do, you can. It's all right to say amen. Church, some would say that it's pointless trying to set out on a course for personal or church growth. We are always in a position to have to deal with what we call haters. How many of y'all know what haters are? Every time you get a plan together and there's always someone there that's going to hate on you. We call them haters, and they drink haterade. You get a membership at the gym, and the haters say, you ain't going to never use that membership at the gym. Why are you looking at me, Chrissy? I just We have haters. Every time you say, man, I'm going to set out to lose some weight this year. I'm going to live healthy this year. I'm going to do some things better this year. And there's always haters that says, why are you going to try to do? You ain't going to change. There's some of us that's kicking some bad habits. And next to our loved ones, we're telling our loved ones, you know, man, I'm going to kick this bad habit. I'm going to kick this bad habit. And it seems like sometimes our loved ones become the best haters because they'll say, yeah, I know you're going to try to get, but I've been with you for 20 years and there's no way you can break that habit. Haters, drinking haterade and hating. I just taught y'all some slang. Now y'all gonna go to work and tell y'all coworkers, stop hating on me, you know. There are always those who say it won't last or you can't finish what you started. Church, we serve a risen Savior and a powerful God who has not only given us much into which to place our hope, but a promise of transformation. Yet, yes, we encounter, have an encounter with a living God, which means that we are afforded a transformational opportunity that's better than any weight loss program or any beauty makeover or the dropping of any bad habit. When we come into the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, there's resurrection to be had. I'm sure enough know that there was haters when Jesus died and there were haters saying, yeah, he's gone now. Ain't nothing gonna happen. But on the third day after he died, he arose and told all the haters, you need to, I was gonna say shut up, but I tell my kids not to say shut up. He told all the haters, you need to be quiet. I'm back and I'm ready to transform some lives. That's the God I serve, a God who's putting us in a position to be transformed. Church, many of us have taken on a challenge within our own lives to have a more robust devotional life with God through scripture and prayer. Again, the pessimist might say, your prayers will do nothing. We might even convince ourselves that our prayers just isn't worth it. But we are a people who have experienced the enriching power of prayer, not just through the occasional instances where God seems to work on our behalf, but the experience of feeling the overwhelming presence of God in times of bliss and turmoil. Personally, my prayer life has revealed things to me that I was simply unable to express at times. I'm still unable to express it. And it is my hope that as a church, we will collectively experience breakthroughs through prayer. Church, what I just said serves as an introduction for a new teaching sermon series that we will be embarking for the next 3 months. entitled Envision. This series will be expressed in three legs. We begin the first leg today, Envision Prayer. The next leg next month will be Envision Transformation. The third leg will be Envision Hope. And we will conclude this series on the most fitting of days on Easter Sunday on March 27th. I pray that you would indulge me as we prepare to be challenged by God to become a church saturated in prayer, a church that is transformed by God, and a church that has the boldness to declare that we live with an innate sense of hope. This morning, I want us to briefly consider the early church in the book of Acts. Earlier, I read a passage that should awaken our senses to the power of community, the power of unity, the power of prayer. In our text this morning, we find an otherwise unstoppable movement encountering turmoil, where there is the movement of God that understands that there is going to be some resistance. Prior to the text that I read, we read of Peter and John, who had previously at the temple courts healed someone, and they began preaching in the name of Jesus, and they were arrested. They were thrown into prison, and then they were sent before the Sanhedrin court, which was a court of some ruling Jewish leaders, and in front of that court, Peter and John pled their case. They actually began to preach Jesus again in front of the court, and the leaders then gave a sentence that forbade them to speak of the name of Jesus, or they would be jailed again, or at worst, killed for their blasphemous acts, as they would call it. And so then Peter and John goes back to the church community that they are part of, and they report to the community what is going on and what took place. They took the news back to the early church community, and the early church community had a meeting. You know, churches always have meetings, don't we? We have meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. Church, that's biblical to have meetings. They had a meeting in the first century. So what do you expect to happen at this meeting? People come together to talk about some solutions, right? People come to talk about some plans or some points of action. We'll picket that court. We'll protest. We won't vote. We won't pay our taxes. We'll fight. And maybe there are others. Maybe there's some other plans we got here. Any other suggestions? What shall we do? They got the power. They got the muscle. We have to listen to them, right? No, we revolt. That's what we do. You think that's what took place at the meeting? No. When Peter and John told them that they were forbidden to speak out or speak about Jesus, the text doesn't give any descriptive notes. It says, when Peter and John told them what happened, they prayed. They prayed. I wish this was a story we find ourselves in when we run into opposition. Pray before we draw battle lines. Pray before we make the picket signs. Pray before we put on our boxing gloves. Pray that's a sign that the church is on fire, that the church is connected to the Lord God Almighty when we stop to pray, when our weapon of choice is prayer. A church that decides to place all situation in God's hands through prayer. Let's envision, church, why don't we? By looking at this early community who prayed to a God who can handle it, whatever it is. I don't know what it is for you, and you don't know what it is for me, and I know a little bit of what it is for this church, but I don't know what it is for the church across the street, and I don't know what it is for the church in Nashville or Los Angeles, and I don't know what it is for your mother. I don't know what it is for your children. You might have a sense of what it is for your children, and you may know what it is for your spouse, and I kind of have an idea of what it is for my children. I kind of have an idea of what it is for my wife, and I kind of know what it is in my life, although sometimes it becomes confusing. But church, whatever it is, God can handle it. He's in control. He's sovereign. I don't know why we tend to put things, you know, on this side. Well, here are the things that God can take care of, and here are the things that he can't. So I've got to take care of it myself. No. God is in control, which is why the early community, when faced with opposition, the first thing they did was to cry out to Sovereign Lord. We need to envision a church being saturated by prayer by looking at this early community who recognize that God is at the center and he is the creator, the one worthy of all of our worship, saying, "You are the one that made the heavens and the earth." And the heavens and the earth, last time I checked, is bigger than all of our it's collected together. We need to envision a church saturated by prayer, by looking at this early church who recognized who the enemy was. The fight is not with each other in here. The fight is against opposition, but ultimately is against an evil force that is not too happy when we do what God wants us to do. And so he will do whatever it takes to get us off course, off script. We need to envision a church saturated in prayer by looking at this early church who prayed about the value of community. One of the reasons why we insist that we pray together is because we're not in this by ourselves as lone rangers, as lone wolves. We're in this together. We need to envision a church saturated in prayer, in that this was a church who prayed to continue sharing the hope of the resurrection with boldness, even though they said, "You say Jesus, you're going to jail." But they prayed for boldness in their witness. And don't miss this. After they prayed, church, the place where they were at started to shake. So this is what I'm saying for 2016. It's time for a shakeup. It's time for us to become so saturated in prayer to God that God shakes the very foundations of this building, that he shakes the very foundations of this community, that he shakes the foundation of our lives. It's time for a shakeup, church. Not an ordinary shakeup, a shakeup that is saturated through the church praying that is marched in by the Holy Spirit. It's time for a shakeup. Church, do you believe the endless possibilities that are before us if we would only allow ourselves to be saturated in prayer? By the end of this series, it is my goal that we will be thoroughly encouraged to increase our participation in personal and communal prayer. At the end of this series, it is my hope to present to you the prayer ministry team, who already has dedicated themselves to praying for this body continuously. It is my goal that as we continue to seek ways to be impactful in our community and within the church family, we will do so with prayerful hearts that are devoted to prayer. Church, it's time for a shakeup. I mentioned last year, towards the end of last year, in a series of sermons, that is going to be our commitment as a church to begin practicing the practice of prayer walking, and that by the end of 2016 we would have walked this entire community and prayed for it. There's going to be some other opportunities to pray throughout this series that I want you to be mindful of. When you came in, I asked that you have an index card. I hope you all have an index card. If you do not have an index card, raise your hand and we will get you an index card. Just look at some of the hands raised. When you get your index card, go ahead and write your name on that index card, and we will get to that card in a second. Philip Brooks, a 19th century preacher, said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for the powers equal to your tasks." Mother Teresa said, "I love to pray. Feel often during the day the need for prayer and take trouble to pray. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. Ask and seek and your heart will grow big enough to receive him." The Apostle Paul in Thessalonians simply said, pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said, when you pray, ... You see, Jesus had an understanding that his disciples would pray. Those who follow Jesus pray. Those who call themselves disciple of Jesus, they pray. And church, our effort to be united in cause and mission in this body, our effort to be a mission outpost in Reynoldsburg in Central Ohio, our effort to be the people of God who subscribe to kingdom ethics, kingdom language, and kingdom living must be saturated in prayer. I'm talking about bathed in prayer. I guess the best way to illustrate this, this morning I was making some pasta for the dinner, and I made some Alfredo. And some Alfredo sauce, some homemade Alfredo sauce. Try to get some, do some chicken in it. Got to put some chicken in it, right? And I made some. I steamed some broccoli, and I tasted a piece of broccoli, and it was just kind of bland. I want to warn you: if you have some New Year's resolutions about cutting your cholesterol, you need to stay away from the broccoli, because I took a half stick of butter, and I melted it in the skillet. And I threw that broccoli in the skillet, and I threw some salt and some garlic in there, and I saturated that broccoli in that butter. And I want you to know that every piece of broccoli in that skillet is saturated in butter. And every time you take a bite of that broccoli, you're gonna taste some butter, you're gonna taste some garlic, you're gonna taste some goodness, heart clogging. Broccoli? Broccoli is supposed to be healthy. I made it unhealthy. When I'm talking about this church being saturated in prayer, I'm talking about prayer encompassing everything. I'm talking about every ministry not doing a single piece of ministry unless you pray first. I'm talking about every conversation that takes place does not take place unless you pray first. I'm talking about every worship opportunity you come to, you don't come to unless you pray first. I'm talking about every class you go to, you don't go to the class unless you pray first. I'm talking about everything that we do is saturated in prayer. When we become a church saturated in prayer, I believe God is going to shake this church. And it's time for a shakeup. I want you to watch this video. amazed by the testimony of so many believers in Christ of what happens when God's people say we are going to be defined through our prayer life together. Mountains will move. And sometimes mountains won't move because God has given us wings to soar over those mountains. Oh, what could happen if we're saturated in prayer? Envision, church. Envision what our lives would be like if we didn't just talk a good game about prayer, but we prayed like we believed in the prayers that we prayed. I want to invite you to take your card, and I did say write your name on it. I meant to say just write your first name, but it's okay if you wrote your last name on it. You can go to the next screen. In just a second, a song will play, and you can simply just leave your name on there, and that's it. But maybe there's something that you've been praying alone or praying for something, and you just maybe sometimes you just forget to pray about it or don't have the strength to pray about it. When we get to those moments, that's probably one of the most wonderful opportunities to invite someone else to pray for you and pray with you. Sometimes you just don't have the strength to pray. You just need other people to pray for you. That's not a confession of you know, you're inadequate or you're a terrible person. No, it's just a confession that God is bigger, and God's family, we pray. Write your name on one side. On the other side, feel free to write something that you've been praying about or something you've been meditating or contemplating. And as this music is playing, go ahead and think about that. And I want to invite you to pray about what you put on that card right now. Here's your invitation to pray for what you put on that card. And after this song is over, I'll tell you what to do with that. So let's spend some time in prayer.
In this world, I walk alone with no I'm
time for a shakeup. And what we will be doing over the next several weeks is not just listening and preaching about prayer, but practicing it in very tangible ways. And here's our first opportunity to practice prayer together as a body in a tangible way. Right now, if you would, take your card and just simply exchange it with somebody. Just exchange it with anybody you see. Just. All right, not to be outdone, exchange it one more time. Exchange it one more time. Exchange it one more time. Not to the same person, come on. Right now, you should be holding someone else's card. I want you to make a pledge and a commitment right now to pray for this person every day this week. Speak this name to God every day this week. Everyone in here right now, if you receive the card and you exchange your card, you will know that there is at least one person praying for you, speaking to God on your behalf, praying perhaps that prayer you've been praying alone by yourself for years or days or months or weeks or even minutes. There's someone who is joining in with prayer for you. You know what? That the best way to become a church saturated in prayer is to practice. And so we're going to practice prayer. We're going to pray for each other this week, and then we're going to begin to expand our prayers where eventually we'll be praying for each other, we'll be praying for our community, we'll be praying for total strangers. But we're going to become a church saturated in prayer. It's time for a shakeup. And I want you to begin to envision what would happen if we spent the entirety of 2016 and beyond, what this church would look like after being saturated in prayer. I want you to envision it. I want you to dream. I want you to imagine. Let's see what God does. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the invitation to be your partners in mission in this world. Thank you so much for saving us, for transforming us, for giving us hope. God, we spend the first few months of this year envisioning how this place would look, how this context would change, how it would be turned upside down, how you will shake this place. Because we are a church devoted to prayer, a church saturated in prayer. God, thank you for giving us a venue, an avenue, giving us boldness, a highway to reach you and to speak to you. As Mother Teresa said, Father, prayer enlarges our heart. In a way that makes room for you to take residence. God, we pray that you would take residence in our hearts right now. You are welcome in this place, not just this building. You are welcome in the innermost parts of our being. And we call on you as your body, united in voice, united in cause, united in mission and purpose. We call on you to invade this space and shake us up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not to be outdone by this practice, commit to praying. We want to spend time right now on praise team. If you want to make your way to the stage as we sing this invitation song, if there's something that's burdening you, something that's bothering you, and you want us to surround you right now and to pray for you, we want to give you that opportunity. If there's just something on your heart you want to share with the body, we want to give you that. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, we also want to give you that opportunity through the practice of confession if you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. So let's stand and let's sing the song All to Us.